This is Everything Boats, the how-to show, stuff you should know about saltwater recreational vessels. My name is Rick Portanova, and I'll be your host. Everything Boats is a broadcast and service of Portanova Yachts, Newport Beach, California. Call us toll-free at 844-YACHT-BROKER or find us on the web at yachtandshipbrokers.com. Today's broadcast is part one of the difference between buying a boat from a private party and a good broker. Before we get into the list of pros and cons, let me just tell you how fast you can get into trouble on a private party purchase. You meet a guy, you go see his boat, you like the boat, you give him a deposit. Do you have any proof of ownership? Probably not. Do you know where he's going to put your deposit? Probably not. It's going in his pocket, I'll tell you that. Then it might make it to his personal bank account, which could be overdrawn. And remember, you don't even know if he owns the boat, or if he has partners, or if his wife's on the title. And we don't even know if the wife is on board about selling the boat, or if he's even still married to her. And is that even his wife? So you give him your deposit, and you cross your fingers, and you go home, and you try to find a surveyor. Someone will come out in less than 3 weeks. Let's say you have to wait 2 weeks for the survey, and some guy comes out. First of all, who'd you call? Do you know that in the state of California, you don't have to be licensed to be a surveyor? Anyone who works on boats can be a surveyor. It's their membership in an association or associations that represents their good standing. A lot of people don't know that. So survey day comes and you all meet at the boat and the surveyor is present and he goes through the boat and you have a sea trial. And by the time you're done, he looks at you and says you'll have a report in 2 or 3 days. A good surveyor will try to have it to you the very next day. And you read the report and it says that the boat is worth, you know, a lot less than you're paying for it. And it also says that it's not really a great boat. So you call up the guy after you read the report and you say, you know, I'm going to pass on that boat. Would you refund my deposit? And he goes, hey, you know, while we were waiting for your surveyor, I had to tell 7 people that the boat was no longer available. And they even offered me more money. And so I'm going to keep your deposit, or at least half of it. Now you're out, you know, whatever you gave him $2,000, you're out $1,000. You're out $700 for the survey on a boat that wasn't worth surveying. So now you're down about $2,000. And it's not like you're operating with any kind of signed operating agreement to purchase. You have really nothing in writing other than here's a deposit, hold the boat. And if you did have a chance to write a purchase offer, do you even know what you'd write? Probably not. So you start screaming that you'll take him to court over the money he owes you on the deposit. And he starts screaming that the boat was fine until you took it out on a sea trial and that you clearly broke it when you were driving it and that he's going to sue you. Well, the problem is, too, he's really rich and he can out-sue you. He can sue you right into the poorhouse. So what are you going to do? Nothing. That's right. You're not going to really do anything but suffer. So with that little preamble, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this broadcast. We're going to cover the pros and cons, beginning with proof of ownership. A good seller, you may have to ask for it, but he'll have it. And a bad seller, he can't find it, or he's hiding multiple owners, or there's somebody who has 1 or 2 or 3 or 4%, and there was some kind of shady side deal to get in on a slip where slips are in demand, and you can't unless you already have a slip, blah, 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 blah. So there you go. With a yacht broker, with a good yacht broker, he's going to have proof of ownership in the file. Why? Because he's licensed in the state of California or Florida. God knows everywhere else it's the Wild West. And his license requires that he prove that he does enough due diligence to prove that the man he's listing the boat for owns the boat. And well, a bad broker, he may not have even asked for proof of ownership, and he certainly didn't pay attention to the fact that there's 4 people on the title, and he didn't bother to ask him who those people are. He just took the listing. What does he care? He just wants you to buy the boat or some other broker to bring a buyer. He's got your listing. He has no interest in really doing anything else for you. That's a bad broker. And I'll tell you what a great broker is going to do. He's not only going to know and have proof that the fellow owns the boat, but he's going to have information about the prior owner by querying the current owner and any other prior history and how it was used by him. Basically, by simply saying, when you bought the boat, what did he tell you? How did he use it? How long did he have it? What did he tell you about the prior owner? That's what makes a great yacht broker. The history of the boat matters because the history of the boat has everything to do with whether it's a good boat or not. So the lesson here is ask for proof of ownership. That means you want to see a current registration or a current Coast Guard certificate. And if it's not the current certificate or the current registration, there better be a good reason, because I know with Coast Guard certificates, it is mandated by law that that certificate be kept on board the vessel at all times. Here's another thing to consider. Before you hand over that deposit, you got to remember, hey, that boat may be involved in a lawsuit, or it could be part of a divorce. So run a lien check before you hand over a red cent to a private party, because you have no guarantee that you're getting that deposit back. And even if it's written on a cocktail napkin, he may put the money in an account, like I said, that could be overdrawn, you know, or he could be involved in a lawsuit. I don't know. But the fact is, it is not a bonded licensed trust account. I'll tell you that. But if it's a really good boat and you don't want to run the risk of losing the opportunity to buy it, then only part with as little money as you can afford to lose. And certainly, if it's an expensive boat, I mean, we've got guys on Craigslist selling, you know, $500,000 boats themselves, $300,000 boats themselves. That's high-risk territory. But if you're going to put a sizable deposit on a boat like that, then hire an escrow service. And any documentation company is capable of setting up an escrow account for you to hold the funds during title transfer. And remember, sellers never volunteer to have you do a lien check because it slows the whole process down. And they expect you to just believe that, you know, they don't owe any money. Why would there be a lien on their boat? Well, they don't know that when they bought the boat without a lien check, that two or three owners before, some guy screwed a shipyard or a mechanic out of maybe 20 grand and they put a lien on that boat. And let's cover this last point on putting a deposit on a private party purchase. Sometimes I'll let a private party sell their own boat directly because 85-90% of the time I bring the buyer, and it's a swift, comprehensive close and rapid funding, which they don't expect from a broker. But let's get back to the topic. On a deposit for a private party boat, it's kind of funny when a guy's got a boat for sale and he tells his friends or neighbors that he got a buyer. All of a sudden, everybody's rich. Oh, they go, I would have given you what you were asking. I would have given you more. I would have given you my wife and my whole bank account and my children. I would have polished your car. I would have kissed your ass just to own that boat. Hey, it sounds funny, a little over the top. It's exactly what happens, especially if you've got a greedy seller. He will get out of that deal as fast as he can to try to get more money from the guy next door. I've had guys try to get out of purchase agreements over that. So what you have when you use a broker, any broker, to be honest, because thank God it's a legal contract, or at least, I'll tell you, make sure you have California, if you're in California, make sure you have California Yacht Broker Association forms. Those are tried, true, proven, and used by thousands of brokers for decades. If a guy's got his own homemade purchase offer, beware. I've seen some pretty shady written purchase offers that don't pass the smell test, and I can't even believe they're legal. But that's its own show. I say that a lot. With a purchase offer through a broker, you have a legally binding contract that gives you a certain amount of time after you put your deposit in that refundable trust account to conduct your due diligence without being sweated that someone's going to take the boat. The seller is obligated to stick with you until the date's on that contract. And if he's trying to get out of the deal, Don't miss those cutoff dates for due diligence and final acceptance, or he will try to sell it to the neighbor. And I've seen that over and over and over. So you have protection in an offer, and the seller can't get out of the deal. And some of them, that's why they won't use a broker too, because they'll take a deposit and continue advertising the boat and shopping it around. And here's another thing too. If I bring a buyer and I get paid a commission, which I earn, then the seller runs around going, or some sellers, I'm sorry, some sellers will run around going, hey, listen, man, if you can buy this boat, you won't have to pay his greedy 8% or 10% commission. So if you're going to do it now. And I'll get out of this contract. I'll find some way to claim breach of contract. Oh, yeah. No, they're out there. They're out there, whether it's a $30,000 boat or a $100,000 boat or a $500,000 boat. Shady sellers, beware. So recapping, what have we learned here? We learned one, document proof of ownership before you give a deposit. And if it's a sizable deposit, have a documentation company put it in an escrow account. It might cost $1,000 for the service. It's worth every penny. If it's not a sizable amount, give them a deposit that is as little as possible. Like I said, don't give them more than you can afford to lose. Maybe a lien on that boat he is unaware of that goes back four owners. Remember the guy that screwed the shipyard out of 20 grand? Yeah, that lien is still with the boat 15 years later. And that shipyard is still looking for their 15 grand. So remember that. And also, people won't tell you up front, but often there's a loan on the boat. And sometimes the loan is more than the amount they're collecting from you. So who's going to pay the loan company the difference between what you give him and what he owes? Because they're not giving you the title until they're paid. And who's going to pay it? Are you going to pay the loan company? It starts to get sketchy fast, I'm telling you. So if you triangulate some of the scenarios I'm giving you, you will find that it is safer to use a broker than a private party. And if you think you have a good private party, well, be careful, because the best con artists are the ones that befriend you or look you right in the eyes and gain your trust. Now, I've owned about 20 boats, and most of those boats were bought long before I became a seasoned yacht broker. And I'll tell you, I've had every experience there is. I bought through brokers. I bought through private party. I've got good boats. I got bad boats. You know what? Every time, in hindsight, it was the luck of the draw. There's an old saying that we start life with a bag of luck and an empty bag of experience. And the goal is to fill up the bag of experience before we run out of the bag of luck. So my advice, use a broker. Find a broker. Make friends with a broker. Marry a broker. Just use a broker. Because the guys that know how to trick you and know all the dirty tricks, flipping boats, you know, shady transactions, they see guys like you coming and going all day long. But make sure you get a great broker. Check their reviews online. And I mean, not the ones on their website that they typed in themselves. Look at the Google reviews. They're independent and can't be changed. Look at the Yelp reviews. The same holds true. And there'll always be a few disgruntled people in there that'll, you know, say bad things about anybody. Because when you're a winner, there's a bullseye on your ass. But as a rule, those reviews are going to speak volumes. But listen, if you've got a brokerage that's been in business 10 years or more, and they only have about 6 or 9 reviews, that's a red flag. So you've got to pick a good brokerage. And then when you get inside a good brokerage, you've done your due diligence, then make sure you pick a good broker out of that brokerage. Do not just be handed off in some kind of rotation where you walk in and hits his up call, and so you're stuck with that broker. Because I'll tell you, some of the worst brokers I know are the ones that sit behind their desk, folding their tie and surfing the web all day long, waiting for some guy to walk in the door and have it be their up call. And it's not just the brokers that work in the broker houses. Some brokerages themselves are just, you know, there's an old saying, a fish stinks from the head down. If you go into the bank and all the tellers have an attitude, I guarantee it trickles down from the CEO of that bank, because a fish stinks from the head down. And some broker houses, same is true. I once knew a broker so lazy and so ignorant and knew so little about boats that I looked over his shoulder at an email he spent 5 minutes typing, and it said, two sentences. It was to the Department of Boating and Waterways, and it said, since I'm a licensed yacht and ship broker, do I have to take the classes in order to get my boater ID card? This guy knew so little that he couldn't even get a boater ID card on his own. So you're starting to see a pattern here? Okay, so let's get on to the next topic. And this one's actually one of my favorites. Did anybody go through and inspect this boat prior to sale? You may see a private party ad that says, new water pump, new hot water heater, new batteries. Sure. The new water pump was 5 years ago. The hot water heater was 7 years ago, and the batteries are dated 2017. Well, if it's a private seller, of course he's not going to have somebody independently inspect the boat and then put together a report and show it to you. With a good broker who knows boats or has access to somebody in his broker house or a vendor who knows boats, he will have gone over the boat when he got the listing and gone through that boat bow to stern and surmised whether it was a solid, safe boat to some degree. And a bad broker hasn't got a clue because a lot of brokers don't even know anything about boats, to be honest. And a great broker, well, a great broker will pre-survey the vessel. He will go through it. He'll know what he's looking for. He will open up hatches. He will look in the engine room. He will check the motor mounts. He will test the lights. He will look at the electrical panel. He'll play with the wheel and see if there's any play. He knows what to look for. He'll check the bilge if it's a sailboat. He'll look at the condition of the keel bolts. He'll go through and peek at the tanks and see if there's any corrosion. Check the age of the hot water heater. It may look nice and shiny on the outside, but underneath it, it's all rusted. He's going to look at the hoses on the motor. He's going to see if everything's double clamped below the waterline. He's going to surmise whether the boat has been loved and whether the story the seller's giving him matches up with the story that the boat itself is telling him. Because boats will tell you the story if you know what to look for, and the boat will talk to you. A lot of brokers don't do that. I do. That's why I don't have surprises when I go to survey. I already know what's going on. And a lot of brokers will know things about a boat, and we're going to get into full disclosure later, but they'll take an offer. They'll let you buy a survey, or they'll let you drop a couple $1,000s only to find out something they already knew. That's actually criminal, but good luck proving it. And again, it matters whether you use a good broker, a bad broker, or a great broker. That's it for part one. I like to end every show with a short tip. Today's tip is that if you close the through hull for your water intake leading to the motor, which so many people do, then in order to avoid forgetting to open it, leaving the slip without any water going to your engine, hang your ignition keys on that through hull. That way you can't even start the boat unless you go to that through hull, make sure it's open, and then grab your keys. All right, I'll see you for another 15 or 20 minute broadcast in about a week.